It is time for us to begin. And so let that boy ring that school bell. Pull the rope. Pull it harder. There you go. And there's our bell for our schoolhouse. And we're now going to start the Warren County Radio Bible School. You can pull up a chair and get your Bible and turn up your radio and follow with us. And today we're going to begin by reading from the Rockcliffe Review, the bulletin that we pass out at the church house there at Rockcliffe on Sunday mornings, a little newsy publication that we have about our members and who to pray for and who has birthdays and little announcements and such as that, but also an article, and the article usually has something to do with the sermon I'm to preach that morning. And this particular morning I was preaching a sermon called Who is a Christian? And I'll read that to you now. Christian is a Bible word with a Bible meaning. It is found but three times in the sacred text, Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, and 1 Peter 4:16. In the Bible, Christian always is a proper noun. It's never a modifier. In our modern vernacular, we hear of Christian schools and Christian churches and Christian nations. But in the Bible, Christian is always a person and never a thing. The Bible meaning of the word Christian can be discerned from the context of these three passages. In Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians. I've heard it said that this was a term of reproach given by their enemies, but I do not believe it. Their enemies did not believe Jesus was the Christ. Why then would they identify the disciples of Jesus with the Christ by this term? The word translated called is used eight other times in the New Testament, and it is always a divine call. Consider the context of warned of God. Matthew 2 and verse 12, Matthew 2 and verse 22, and Acts 10:22 and Hebrews 11:7 are revealed, Luke 2:26, are called in Romans 7:3, are this, admonished of God, Hebrews 8 and verse 5, and him that spake, Hebrews 12:25, and this is in the context of one who spake by the Spirit. Isaiah prophesied of a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And it is associated with the Gentiles seeing God's righteousness. Isaiah 62 and verse 2. This was starting to happen in Antioch. Acts 11:20. God had the opportunity to introduce this new name at this time through the teachings of Saul and Barnabas. Now, this may be the worthy name James wrote about at this same time in James 2 and verse 7. In Acts 11, those called Christians had seen the grace of God, Acts 11:23, and heard the preaching of the word, Acts 11:19, and of the Lord Jesus, Acts 11:20. They believed and turned to the Lord, Acts 11:21. They were added to the Lord, Acts 11:24, and with purpose of heart, they were taught to cleave to the Lord, Acts 11:23. These were the people who assembled with the church, Acts 11:26. The word church can mean assembly, but here it's referring to the people who had been called out of the world by the gospel of Christ. They assembled for the purpose of receiving instruction, Acts 11:26. Hence, they were disciples, Acts 11:26, learners, pupils, and followers. Christians are disciples of Christ. In Acts 26, with words of truth and soberness, Acts 26:25, Paul taught that Jesus had fulfilled the prophecies and had risen from the dead. Festus thought Paul was beside himself, but King Agrippa believed. Paul said to Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Acts 26:27. King Agrippa answered, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Acts 26:27. King Agrippa is an example of a man that was not saved by faith only. He believed, but he was not persuaded to become. This shows there's more to being a Christian than believing. We learn from this that a Christian is one who has received words of truth and soberness, has believed, has been persuaded to become a Christian, and has done what they must do to become one. Paul did not resort to emotional manipulation or coercion to get people to commit to Christ, but to reasoned persuasion. Paul wrote, Peter wrote, "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." 1 Peter 4:16. In this context, he wrote of being reproached for the name of Christ. 1 Peter 4:14. Christians are standard bearers for the reputation of Christ, and a bearer of reproach in such a way that brings glory to his name. 1 Peter 4:14 and 16. Their dedication is such that if faithfulness means a suffering, they will suffer without shame. 1 Peter 4:16. Peter writes of Christians as those who are of the household of God. 1 Peter 4:17. God's household is God's family. They are God's church. Peter also writes of Christians as those who have obeyed the gospel of God in 1 Peter 4:17. Who then is a Christian? A Christian is one who has received words of truth and soberness about the Lord Jesus, believes that Jesus is the Christ, is persuaded to turn to the Lord, is baptized in obedience to the gospel, and is added to the household of God. Then, with purpose of heart, a Christian cleaves to the Lord, assembles with the church, and lives a life for God's glory. Read that again. Are you a Christian? Now, I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we spend our time looking at old Sunday school lessons. And this is a Sunday school lesson that was prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 20th, 1927. It's about the prophet Micah and how he championed the oppressed. Micah was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied concerning both Samaria and Jerusalem. A prophecy made by Micah in the reign of Hezekiah concerning the coming destruction of Jerusalem, for which Hezekiah did not have Micah put to death, is quoted in the book of Jeremiah by some elders in defense of Jeremiah, and it saved his life. Now, let's look at the explanatory notes from the text, and the text is Micah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that to you. "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. And they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye walk haughtily. For it is an evil time." The chapter begins with pronouncing, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds." They lie awake at night studying and planning for the execution of wickedness when daylight should come. And they practice it because it's in the power of their hand. That is, they do whatever wickedness they have the power to do. They covet fields, as Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard, and they seize them, scheming how to do it, as Jezebel schemed to have Naboth killed and to take his vineyard. Likewise, they covet houses and took them away from their owners. They oppressed the poor and robbed him of his heritage. Therefore, that is, for this wickedness, Jehovah declared he would devise against the family of Israel an evil from which they could not remove their necks. Their necks would be placed under the yoke of their conquerors. They would not be able to walk haughtily or in pride and arrogance, for it would be to them an evil time. They should receive from plunderers an oppression of the evil which they had done to others. As the following verse states, they should have to say with a doleful lamentation, "We are utterly ruined." Well, then we read how Jehovah had a controversy with his people. Chapter 6 of Micah, in verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear ye now what Jehovah saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear, O ye mountains, Jehovah's controversy, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For Jehovah hath a controversy with his people. He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me." In these verses, Jehovah invited his people to a controversy with himself when he said, "Arise, contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice." He wants this controversy out in the open, where all can hear both sides. And Micah invites the mountains to hear. God had done everything possible in both justice and mercy for his covetous, drinking, licentious, and otherwise wicked people. And their ingratitude and rebellion they would give no heed, which was enough to cause the mountains to give judgment against them. God appeals to the people to justify against them. If he treated them unjustly or unkindly or exacted any arduous service of them, he says, "O my people, what have I done to thee? And wherein have I wearied thee?" He would condescend to hear their complaints in order, it would seem, to put them to shame. At least it should have put them to shame. In verses 4 and 5 of Micah chapter 6, we read, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. And I set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab devised, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him. Remember from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of Jehovah." You see, God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, where they were slaves in cruel and hard bondage. Much is said in the Bible of what the Israelites suffered in Egypt, and frequent mention is made of it in order to beget them in them a proper gratitude and to stimulate them to faithful service to God. From this bondage God had redeemed them. All this was an inestimable blessing and a type of redemption from the bondage of sin by Jesus Christ. God had sent before them Moses to teach and guide them, and to be their lawgiver, and Aaron to act as priest, and Miriam to serve them in her God-appointed way. And for all this, should they be ungrateful, they were called upon to remember what Balak king of Moab devised, and what Balaam son of Beor answered him. The account of that is given in Numbers 22 through 24. And Balak with the elders of Midian implored Balaam, who loved the wages of wrongdoing. But God turned it around and turn those curses into blessings for them.